about some more specific kinds of lessons we learned, and Brian's going to talk about that.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Warner. Formerly, I worked for Donna in the web communications group, and then I moved to the College of Nursing, where I was been participating pretty heavily since the RFP went out for the day product. I kind of want to reiterate a couple of things that that Donna said. I feel like it was very, very significant, this change in the culture that's happened at University of Cincinnati. I don't know what your universities are like, but UC is extraordinarily siloed. That people can be in the same building and, in fact, share an office, but they will not talk to each other. And this presents a pretty big problem when you want information from this department over here, and it's very difficult to get that. I mean, literally, you're sending, you know, hundreds of emails and calling, and you're not getting what you want. Just that's what the culture was. And so, especially when you have a centralized IT that's cost recovery, and I'm sure we all know what that looks like, and we have departments that have very little money and they want to accomplish things, so they go and they find, instead of paying that cost recovery money, they go and they find their own people that can do it. And maybe it's just that person builds websites at home or whatever. And so you start to get this hodgepodge patchwork of, you know, free content management systems they've downloaded off the internet, WordPress and Joomla and some of those other things. And UC is a predominantly .NET shop. It has a little bit of PHP thrown in there, but for the most part, it's Microsoft all the way. And so there's a lot of butting heads from a technical perspective. So how do you get all this stuff to play nicely? Well, originally when Donna's group threw out, hey, check it out, why don't we all kind of get together, and since you guys have developers and you guys have CSS work folks and you all know JavaScript and Ajax, and we have these resources, but no one's playing. So why don't we? Doesn't that sound cool? And maybe we could get the university to help us out with some money, get a content management system that everybody can play with. Well, universally across the board, everybody drank that Kool-Aid. Thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread. The initial meetings were packed. We were filling conference rooms with folks that were interested in this concept and interested in this idea. Well, this brings us to one of our first lessons. Originally, see, there's a lot of cat pictures here. I try to have an entire conversation in lolcats. You all know what lolcats are? Yes? Lolcats? All right, sweet. Woo! All right, so we had a lot of these folks come in early and say, yes, sign me up. I want to do this thing. Help me help you. And so the Donna's group said, hey, everybody can come in and play. Well, what we didn't understand is when someone said, hey, I understand development and I can do code, that some folks meant that I had developed a website in 1996. And standards may have changed during that time. And so we didn't really do a very, very good job of scrutinizing. We were just very excited that we had all this buy-in early on and said, hey, everybody jump on the boat, let's do this thing. So where we ran into issues is that someone would say, hey, I know this CSS. So that person would get tasked with, why don't you help us build the initial templates? Weeks later, the templates are in shambles. That person is in way over his or her head. And you can imagine what kind of drama that causes, because everybody else is kind of waiting for that template to show up so we can move forward. Additionally, we've got some folks that actually have a very, very strong technical background in other things, and then will also claim to know more about, say, I understand Ajax or whatever, and they are, you know, a PHP developer. You know, they're maybe not just super strong with JavaScript, and so that ran us into a lot of problems. The second lesson kind of goes along with that, is that as people started to recognize, hey, maybe I'm in a little bit over my head, we had some flux in the folks that would show up to meetings and participate. And sometimes that would happen in the middle of, you know, one of the sub-projects. I'm developing component X to do Y, and that person would get, you know, 3 days into it and say, I can't do this because of, you know, whatever reason, and off they would go. For example, when I was on Donna's team originally, when we did the RFP process and we're choosing content management system, then I moved over to College of Nursing. He was way bought into CMS as a concept. Problem is, they also had a dean who wanted to launch a website like that day. We haven't, you know, gotten anywhere close to our coding. So I spent a good portion of my time hand building a site, so which took away time from, you know, coding and developing for a day at that point. However, once we started to get to the beginning of the school this year, I ramped up my time with these folks, and we launched College Nursing's website about 3 weeks ago, somewhere in that region. So, yeah. But here, what's funny And this is why I have this cat picture, why the bag of carrots. So you're like, what is bag of carrots and this crazy cat picture got to do anything? So during our first engagement with the day folks, we had a bursting conference room with laptops, and a trainer from day had come out. And so you had all these folks from all these different regions hanging out. They're way excited. They want to do development. So the entire room is filled with folks hammering away on some code because they're way into it, which, again, this is a new thing. No one talks to each other at UC. So, except for one guy, not hammering away. What's he doing? Amidst the ticket of people typing, crunch, crunch, and he's on Facebook. And so this constant flux in the core team is we would have folks that were like this that would show up because someone in a higher up position would get super excited about it and toss random person A into the development team. And that person was not interested in being there. And so they didn't really contribute a whole lot. And so it took us a while to really figure out, well, what makes the right person to be on this? You know, it's not only someone that's invested in it, but also has the right skill set, but also has a management team that's way into it. So it's really those three ingredients. This was a big one. We have had many failures on the internet. Having a single point of control for code moving forward is a big deal. And especially when you're talking about having a bunch of folks that are all contributing code into one spot. Well, some of you that may be developers and are understanding, you know, there's SVN and a couple of the other code check-in and check-out situations, which I'll get to SVN and our experience with that fun on the next slide. But at UC, we have the central IT system. The centralized folks control the servers. And so they have a single point of contact in terms of, you want it to go into production? Cool, it comes through me. Well, we also have in CMS, we have a code builder, and that person is in charge of taking all the code from all the developers and putting it into one package so we can go to the IT person. Well, when centralized IT puts in a package into the production, about half an hour after the code builder does, someone's code overwrites somebody else's code, and there's mass pandemonium. And it takes hours to figure out who did what and why is this happening and why is the whole website blacked out. And really what our lesson learned from that is we just needed better communication in that point. And it seems like something silly. Well, these folks talk all the time. Well, it just, at that particular moment, didn't happen to say, hey, by the way, I'm throwing a package into production, check it out. The amazing disappearing code. We had one of the folks, and this again goes back to people's skill level and understanding how things should work. And this is maybe, you know, a failing on the greater group's part of not really, you know, filtering some folks out. But, you know, we had some people that were editing code on production, which is a super no-no, especially when you're tossing production level packages that have been through QA up there, which will override everything. So that was mass hysteria for a while, is that we'd have a lot of those little baby pockets of resistance of people trying to do their own thing and not playing nicely. And it would break, and then they would go, ding, oh, I get it. I should play with the group, I should talk to the group, I should participate in the sessions, and understand kind of the timeline for how things are going to work. Finding the right tools. So when we first started with CQ, what's interesting about CQ, does anybody have Day or have used Day or understand Day? What's nice about Day is that you get your own development package that sits right on your own box. It's awesome in every single way. You don't need a development environment or a server or anything. It installs right on your laptop or PC or whatever. It has its own little local host, and it's fantastic in that way. The problem is that when we originally got it, they were trying to push us through SVN to get code changes and do branches and all the other things that SVN is good for. Well, UCIT, being a .NET shop, was not using SVN for code check-in and check-out, so there was a lot of drama that went into trying to get us to talk to each other well. And literally, it was taking 4 to 5 hours per person to set up a development environment on the laptop. And that was a huge barrier to people playing, because they would get to the two-hour mark, and it would not work, and they no longer wanted to play ball because they've got busy days just like everybody else. Well, now it's a simple install, but before, someone in the group had figured out how the correct install and was literally walking across campus with a flash drive with the install and installing it on the separate developers' computers, which was super cool, and I think is a testament to, you know, people wanting to bring this core group together.
So,
yeah,
go ahead.
What's that?
Now, do you use a version control?
The way that we do it right now is that folks do development independently. So everybody gets together. I'm glad you asked this question. Everybody gets together on a Tuesday meeting. And we talk about, okay, so we've got these cool components and they do X, Y, and Z. What do we need to do next? Or what should we do to ramp up the next version of this component that slides images or plays a video or does whatever the user wants? Once we decide that, we assign who should be playing ball and who should be working on that code together. And it's going to be a couple of folks from different departments. You know, none of us, this is our primary job. You know, we each have university and college level commitments to do things. But this is, you know, we are working towards a whole. You need a component, I need a component, why don't we both work together, right? So we each work independently on our own boxes. You know, I'll send some code to you via whatever, you'll send it back to me. And once we've decided that it functions correctly, we send it up to the code builder. The code builder puts it into QA, gets tested, it goes to dev, then it goes into QA, then it goes into production. Right.
We were doing it every week because we had so many things that we needed to fix each time. But now we've spaced it out 2 weeks, which allows us more time to actually do the development and testing because we were just like going on.
But what this independent development does do is, while we're saying that we've managed to knock down a bunch of barriers between these silos, they're not all down. And even between the friendships and the hand-holding, the high-fiving that we're doing right now, there's still some drama. So Day has this concept of components. You have a little toolbar, you click and you drag onto your page, poof, there's a text component, I can type in it. There's an image component, I can put an image in it, and so on and so forth. Well, every department, every college, every website on campus has to be different. Why? Because they want it, right? And up to now, because there's been literally a server under somebody's desk, and by server, I mean a computer that they've, you know, that's been rotated out, that's sitting under somebody's desk, it's connected to the internet, and that's what's hosting their website, and it's written in, you know, PHP 3, there hasn't been any control over design up to now. And so that's one of the things that we've not really been able to enforce is a super consistent in design. You know, we're pushing branding elements across, but in terms of every web page looks the same, not so much. You know, College of Web Nursing looks different than College of Business, looks different than College of Law. There's unifying elements, but. So, say for example, UCIT. They wanted to have a text component that had a red bar across the top of it. And College of Business wanted to have one that had a black line on the left of it. And so on and so forth. So you have each of these colleges that are all building this, I mean, literally, functionality-wise, the same component. It just might have an image next to it, or it might have a wavy line or whatever. And so we've been trying to discourage that and to build the one ring, the one text component that has checkboxes and whatever, I'm UCIT, or, you know, that has, you know, CSS selectors so that you can add whatever you want to it. And that's been a bit of a fight because even though people want to play ball, they still want to be their own thing. Cat has a crayon. All right, so we also, and this is, you know, basic project management at this point, but we're talking about something that's really, really large scale at UC. It's one thing to say, hey, we're rolling out a new website and let's do the project management with that, but to do project management across colleges and departments that will not talk to each other and to try to convince that kind of collaboration has been hard. And so you really, I mean, this is really important to recruit those kind of champions. And really those seven developers that Donna has mentioned are those folks to go out and champion the cause with the sword and the shield and take the lumps when, you know, maybe it doesn't work exactly the way that you expect it to, but we can build on that. You know, I happen to have been in this champion role to go along and help and mentor the developers that are maybe not so savvy. You know, they have the talent, they just don't necessarily understand, you know, exactly what to do just yet. We came from a .NET shop and Day is Java, which angered IT, like furiously, like thunderbolts and lightning and craziness. And there, you know, we had no Java developers on campus, this many. So how do you deal with that? How do you launch a content management system in 14 months with no one, with zero Java understanding? So it took a lot of, pictures going on, yeah. It took a lot of, somebody would get up on the, you know, current Java, buy some books or whatever, or take a seminar from lynda.com, and then it would be a tutoring session for everybody else. And if you don't have that kind of, hey, come with me, I don't feel like it was going to work. And we really didn't have that initially. It was just kind of a hodgepodge of stuff until we really understood. We got to wrap our arms around it. Unpredictable life cycle for development. All right, so there was this one time that the group said, hey, what we need is a component that does list items. And we want list items that could be fed through RSS. We want it to be maybe it's a recursive navigation. So when I add pages, automatically the navigation works. Then we wanted to do X, Y, and Z things. So this guy right here said, sure, I've got you, and I'll go ahead and do that development. So I hammered it out in 3 days and brought it to the next code meeting and went, whack, there it is. And they went, while this is what we wanted, our expectations have now changed. And now we also needed to do whatever crazy thing. And that happens actually quite a bit, is that we'll hand something out, and then someone will spend the time to build it, and we won't end up using it. Sure, and it's, you know, we've changed a little bit of strategy here and there in terms of, you know, how should we get content into the system and how should it move from place to place and so on. But I mean, the good thing is that I've never lost a piece of code. I've always been able to repurpose that for something else. But I mean, especially in the beginning, until you really define a strategy, and I don't know that you can define one without actually getting your feet dirty and walking around in the mud and understanding how things are working. Oh, there's this other time too, and this is really good. So we had this. We have Wowza streaming, flash streaming media servers on campus, and we take a lot of video. Seems like the hip thing that kids are into nowadays is watching videos on the internet. So we had a video component. It wasn't very cool, and so I built a new one. And it does all the social media stuff, and it sends emails, and it does a lot of hip, cool things. Well, the problem is that when I was coding it, I left a hanging comma in the JavaScript, which only appears if you check some of the conditional boxes. Should that have been found in QA? Probably. But at this point, we've been moving forward so fast, you know, that this little hanging comma was missed. Why? Because it was only tested on IE8 and above, Google, Firefox, Opera, blah, 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 blah. All those browsers are very forgiving of this hanging comma. So what happens if you're the president and you're looking at your convocation video the day after you give this speech at freshman convocation, and you click on the link and it goes to a 404, and when I say link, I mean you click the play button on the video and it goes to a 404 page because you're using IE7. Bow! Yeah, someone gets yelled at. So that's an emergency fix. Yeah, so, I mean, that was a slightly unpredictable thing. I mean, we literally had to fix up and in production in 2 hours, and that's to figure out what was wrong with it, you know, get it in QA and dev and make sure that it was working properly in both those environments and getting it live. But, you know, those are the lessons learned, is that we, even though we have a fairly robust testing environment, things get through. So, and here's the thing, is that we still are not pleasing everybody. We have a lot of buy-in. We have a lot of folks in a lot of colleges and departments that are playing ball right now. How many sites do we have in? 60. That's a lot. And these are not little rinky-dink sites. They are, you know, massive 100-page sites in some of them. But, you know, still, we're talking about a lot of web stuff in a very, very short amount of time. And we've still managed to not make everybody happy. For example, one of our colleges had gone off the reservation. They built their own very, very robust content management system that had scheduling and it had, you know, product ordering and all kinds of other crazy stuff. And that's not something that we're prepared to support just yet in our new content management. You know, we're trying to build things as fast as we can, but they want it now. Cool, getcha. And we'll get there. Or, you know, one of the leaders of IT across campus isn't just super happy with the language that we're using, not happy with Java, the .NET developers. Getcha too, but, you know, there wasn't a product that did what we wanted it to do that was in the .NET environment at that moment. That really had the user experience that they had, so that's why we chose it. You know, and I feel like, regardless of that particular product, you know, these concepts will work across whatever content management system that you all are using. I'm sure everybody's using content management or something. Yeah, yes. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we had a lot of headaches, but we've learned a lot of good lessons. And sometimes you just got to keep them coming. But we are making something beautiful, is that, you know, we went from having, you know, websites that were liquid and fixed width and purple and yellow and ridiculous, to now having a lot of branded experiences that have a lot of, you know, the Web 2.0-y things that the incoming students really expect. Facebook integration, cool. Twitter and, you know, all the fun stuff that you really expect to have out of today's collegiate websites. And what's nice is that we're all doing it together.
Share with each other what you're doing at your university for content management?
Can we get a look at some of the results?
Sure. Using the power of the internet, I think we can help you. So does anybody else have that? I'm just going to throw random questions out there because I think it's fun. I assume that you all have campus-wide? Or do you have like a hodgepodge of content management systems out there?
Hodgepodge?
Yeah.
We're part of the problem.
Yeah, it's...
We for similar reasons, we need the tools that we need to do what they do.
Sure.
And NYU, the University Central, just like 7 months ago, released their day CMS for everybody to come on board if they want to. We're not coming on board for some of the reasons that you talked about, but clearly that's the like solution.
Sure.
Like, yeah.
Anybody else? Sharing? Caring?
I'm with Cornell. We have a
do whatever they want.
But
the
visual guidelines,
yeah. Sure. Is there...
We're on kind of a clunky resolution. So, we have to quite a little stretch in this. But this is Bryan's College.
What's nice about... I mean, I don't need to tell you all the value of CMS and why it's awesome in every single way. The product we've chosen has some really nice features to it that we like, but... What's nice is that the how quick we're able to develop things on it. That's nice, you know. Getting CCM. So here's an example. We got these content sliders here. You notice that mine is slightly different than the college conservatories of music. These are actually separate components, and I'm part of the problem that I just described. Is that I needed to be special too, because I have a dean that's very exacting in what she wants. But still, the goal is to have, you know, one component that can do quite a few things, but still provides that user experience from folks that are less savvy, but they don't have to check like 1,000 boxes to get the result. This is engineering.
You'll notice that they all look quite a lot different, although they do all meet our branding standards. So it is a false assumption that if you meet branding standards, your site will look like everyone else's.
Yeah. Another content slider. This one and the one from, yeah, this actually three of these four that you've seen thus far are actually the same component. They just have, you know, CSS changes and checkboxes for different JavaScripts and so on and so forth.
And that's what we're trying really hard to do, because every time we do a totally new thing, then somebody has to support that. And every time we'll upgrade the software, then that's another thing we have to check. So we're trying really hard to minimize development.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I assume, do you all have centralized ITs that control, like, the eye of Sauron that can seize everything? Yeah.
For the schools or centers or whatever that aren't playing with you,
yeah.
Can they utilize any of your assets at all? Like, is there a way to make Day talk to other systems or to have other systems talk to it?
Day can push out. It's got an API. I mean, we can get data in and out however we want. I mean, one of the bigger things is that while we collected some monies from folks, it was a relatively small amount of monies as compared to some of the custom solutions that UCIT wanted. So I feel like the barrier for people entering is not necessarily a monetary one. Even so, I feel like at this point that, you know, people, they don't want to get in because they're scared at this point. I feel like that's the truth of it.
Actually, we have so many people on the list that we can get them anyway. So we're not really trying to recruit them. Right.
Right.
We have many colleges waiting in the wings, and our library system, which is massive, is wanting to come on. So our HR area, and not your HR site, but ours is one of my very not favorite sites.
think, go ahead, yeah.
You manage just the code base. Is that essentially the key function, since everybody cooperates on that?
Really, it's managed in my area, but it's kind of odd.
Which, what's funny is that Donna's web communications group is part of University Communications, which is not UCIT. And so the person that manages the code base and the quality control of that actually is one of Donna's folks. If y'all are not using Skype now, yeah, that's what's up. Do you have a question up here? Simon?
Is there anything that Dave doesn't do that
yeah.
did that, like, that, that's a major shortcoming or that is a reason people don't come on?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have, like, for example, our College of Business has that really cool event entry system,
right.
Which Dave has. Right, it's
right.
True. I mean, it's...
We haven't done blogging. It does everything that we want to do. We just haven't had a chance to do it yet.
What it won't do right now, as we found out, is a bit of a limitation, and it's our fault, and because we're so decentralized, is that they kind of expects you to have a centralized database source. And so let's say that you're Procter & Gamble, you probably have a farm, and that's where all the data lives, right? We don't have that. I mean, literally, people have app servers under desks, and I'm not even kidding about that. That's what happens. And so if you want, let's say I want to create a form, and I want that form to write to my database, and I want to do it in a secure manner, Dave doesn't really have a way to connect to a database from a component just yet. You know, we're looking into that as it stands right now, but I'm not convinced that it's possible just now. So what they kind of want you to do is to write to the content. If I know we're not really supposed to be pimping out Dave today, but Dave sits on the Java content repository, so it's building nodes. And so when you're entering, 5 minutes, when you're entering stuff into your form, it wants to build nodes actually within the system. And I'm just not quite convinced that I want to hold data in that way. But. What's up? Question? No? Okay.
Do you have any colleges that are actually trying to decentralize now? There's all these people who want to know things and go on that.
Actually, I'm in London. Yeah. I think what's happened with fewer resources is the IT areas and the individual colleges and departments and things are being cut. And when that happens, they say, yikes, how are we going to deal with this? We don't have to run a server. That's what something like you need to do. We don't have to have a developer. Let's use the content management system and call it and develop. So I think that's one of the reasons we're getting the people who traditionally wanted to be on their own, like our engineering, college engineering, almost the whole college is in the system now. Our design, architecture, art, and planning, and mostly there's the creative folks, both the college conservatory, the music, and our design people, they're both on board. Some of them are just a lot of resources.
I mean, these are...
We're seeing that now.
Yeah, and it's really benefiting the university as a whole because we're getting on the same as it is a lot less resources. And yeah, I don't think we even can calculate the amount we're gaining in time. Just in time, not even counting this, the other peripherals.
From your perspective, would it make sense to centralize the developers? Right now you're using developers in various places. Would it make sense either at their end for budgetary purposes or your end for coordination purposes to start bringing it together?
Yeah.
Because we're in the same similar sort of situation.
In an ideal world, if I could say, we would change the university, I would do that. I would pull them in. But in my lifetime, I think it won't happen. Because I'm anticipating 5-7 years at UC. I don't think it'll happen in that time.
I feel like having developers from different backgrounds definitely brings a lot of diversity in terms of thought and ideas to, you know, some of the crazy components we come up with.
But like Brian said, they all have their own jobs. So I'm basically begging for their time. You know, I can't say, this is what we're doing and you have to do it and it needs to be done by now, you know. So
if there's an emergency situation, situation as you described, you call him up because you know him well.
If it was
he'll
his,
find the time.
Yeah, if it was his component, I'd definitely call him up.
I mean, one of the things we're trying to encourage is we know that you're going to build a component anyway. Why don't you build a component that maybe is a little bit more vanilla with some checkboxes and customization on an advanced tab so that we can roll that into the base level code? Everybody could have it. And so there's a lot of crazy things that are going on in there right now. There's click and drag and drop, you know, MP3 players on the page or video players or YouTube or Twitter feeds or whatever.
I think that really helps too when the college business says, well, we can't use that component because we need it to do such and such. Well, almost always they'll say, we need such and such and we're the only ones who need it because we're special. Almost always we find someone else. As soon as they say, oh, they're doing that, we need that too. You know, so I think it's been a real eye-opener for a lot of the areas working independently that, oh, we are a little more alike in our needs. Since you've been in Cincinnati, have any of you noticed billboards that have this kind of look to them? This big word here, red and black? No, not yet. I'm watching my way back out to the airport, and at the airport, in fact, right in the airport, and see if it's speaking of the city. Thank you for coming, and we'll throw this presentation up on the...